Let's go to the Lord again in prayer. Father, once again we thank You and thank You that You hear the cries of sinners. We know that it is only in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus that You do so. And it gives us great encouragement, because oftentimes, as we look upon ourselves, we realize and know that we're not worthy to be called Your child. We're not worthy to come into Your presence. We're not worthy that You should ever answer any of our petitions. But when we believe and have faith by Thy power, that we are accepted in the Beloved, it gives us great encouragement to come before Your throne. And Father, we thank You for the anticipation that we shall one day be in Your presence, glorified, sinless in our person, though still accepted in the Beloved. We will not battle sin. We will not wonder if what we're doing or thinking honors You or not. We shall be in that sinless state. We shall be kept from not only our own sins, the sins of others, the sins of the world, the sins of the devil, and all those in hell. We will not be influenced. We will not have to put up with it. Our righteous souls will not be vexed. Why, O Lord, should not we cry with John on the Isle of Patmos to come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly. May that day be soon, we ask. Nevertheless, bless us to abide faithful. Bless us to be watchful. Bless us to be sober. Bless us to be on our guard until we die. We have spoken, our God, to men a lot older than we, as well as women, and their testimony is that they, even in their declining years, still had to battle sin. So we do not expect it to be any different with ourselves. Keep us by Thy grace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue to look at our adversary, the devil, we stopped off this morning with the fact that he is a murderer and a liar from the beginning. Not only that, he is a deceiver. The Scripture describes him as such in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, chapter 12, since we spoke of Michael earlier, we'll begin in verse 7. that is earlier this morning. There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. So see, there are fallen angels, demons, that are with the dragon, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So we can see that he is called the deceiver. Now, if this is speaking prophetically, which it appears that it is, it still does not change the fact of what he is now. He is a deceiver. He will make sin look pleasant. He will make disobeying God look like it is the thing to do. He will make not serving God appear to be acceptable. He is a deceiver. And then again, to show that he is designated as such, in the 20th chapter of Revelation, we see it again talking about him. In verse 2, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Well, I thought the word deceived was in there. Maybe I've tapped in the wrong thing. Anyway, still talking about the same individual, that old dragon, the serpent, and the devil. And so he is still the deceiver. Now, as we saw in 1 Peter 5, and as we have seen in other places, he is going about, walking about, going about in the earth, seeking whom he may devour. He is continually looking to oppose the Lord and his people at all times. Let's go back to Job chapter 1. I know you know this, and yet we'll just, there may be people out there that do not understand this. And so we find in Job chapter 1, in verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God, that's the angels, sons of God, that expression, sons of God in the Old Testament, is referring to angels. Even in Genesis chapter 6. But I won't get involved in that at this time. That's a whole different ball game. That's a whole different study, but I do not see that that is any different than the rest of the sons of God in the Old Testament. There was a day, there was a set time, it appears, that the sons of God presented themselves, the angels presented themselves before the Lord. And it appears to be good and bad angels. In fact, in the second chapter of Job, we find it in verse 1, there was a day when the sons of God, again there was a day, when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. You say, why? I don't know. Was there any purpose? Did this happen all the time? And again, you can ask more questions about this than I know. Scripture doesn't tell us. I am reminded, and I will not take the time to look it up. I don't think I can find it right quickly, though I am looking to see if I could find something somewhat quickly. It's in the book of Kings. And I don't know whether it's the 1 Kings or the 2 Kings, but I think it's the 1 Kings, that it, well, I did. 1 Kings 22. 1 Kings 22. This has to do with angels presenting themselves before the Lord. Micaiah was a good prophet. Ahab did not like Micaiah. He had him in prison. And Ahab is going out to war against the enemy. And he gets Jehoshaphat to go in league with him to go against, to go into battle against the enemy. Ahab had very many prophets, and he asked them, should he go to war? And they tell him, yes, go ahead, you're going to be successful. And so, they're going to go to war against Syria. You see, Syria is still in war. And so, they were going to go to war against Syria. Well, Jehoshaphat says, out of all these prophets, he said, well, is there anybody else around? And I'm putting this in my language so far. And Ahab said, yeah, there's another fellow, but I don't like him. Said he never says anything good. And Jehoshaphat says, well, let's see what he has to say. And so Micaiah was sent for, and the guy that sent for Micaiah said, now, listen, all of Ahab's prophets have said this, and so if you say the same thing they're saying, it's going to be good for you. So I'm going to encourage you to say what they said. Micaiah said, well, I can only say what God tells me to say. And so Micaiah is brought before Ahab, and Ahab said, should I go up to battle? And Micaiah said, oh, yeah, just go on up. Everything's going to be all right. And finally Ahab said, now, wait a minute. Tell me the truth. And so, giving that in the background, we'll take up at verse 16. That's the transitional verse of my story behind. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, Micaiah said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills, as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king, that's Ahab of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. All the host of heaven was there. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? Now think about that. Here's the scene. Heaven. All the angelic host before the Lord. And God asked the question, who is going to see to it that Ahab goes into battle and gets killed? Verse 21. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? How are you going to do this? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. Now think about that. I cannot. Well, let me rephrase this. If I did not have the Scriptures, I wouldn't believe what I'm about to read. Or what I have read already. God asked, who's going to persuade Ahab to go into battle and get killed? The Spirit said, I'll go persuade him. He says, how? He said, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of Ahab's prophets. I will see to it that all of those men lie. Now, how does an angel do that? I don't know. What influence does he have over mind, will, and spirit to cause a person to say or do such a thing? I don't know. But such things happen. And such things still happen. It might cause you to understand why some of the leaders and world leaders do some of the idiotic things that they do today. God's judgment on people. You say, well, it's just common sense. Why would they think that way? Why would they do such a thing? Why would they? Could very well be a lying spirit. And he said, that is God, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. Now notice that. The lying spirit said, I'll go, I'll do it. The prophet of God said, the Lord did it. And God is not the author of sin. You say, well, I don't understand it. That's good. I don't either. I can't comprehend it, but I'm not going to argue with God's Word. And if you argue with God's Word, then you're acting very foolish. Because who made you smarter than God? This is what God wants us to know. And there are plenty of people say, well, that really doesn't mean what it says. Well, I believe God had enough understanding to know that it meant what it said. And then one of the guys hit old Micaiah and said a whole bunch of things. And finally Micaiah said in verse 28, if thou return at all in peace, talking about the king, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. And of course, we know the end of the story. We know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. Ahab went into battle. There was a guy out there that was shooting his bow. And he drew his bow at venture and missed venture and hit Ahab. In other words, when it says he was shooting at a venture, he didn't have anybody in mind. He was just grabbing arrows and shooting at the enemy on the other side. He's just grabbing and shooting, and one of those arrows left that man's bow and found a opening spot in Ahab's armor. Now, his armor wasn't a solid shield piece of metal. It was one that had some flexibility to it and had a few open spots here and there. And that arrow that was shot at a venture hit the exact spot and killed Ahab, just like the Lord said. But I said all of that to say this. Here's another situation where the angels of God went before the Lord. You talk about some of the councils of the Council of the Trilateral Commission and the Council of Foreign Relations, or the Bilderbergers, or the Bohemian Society, or the Illuminati, or some of those folks said, "Boy, I'd like to be in on their council, so hear what they have to say." People have tried to sneak into some of those places to hear what they had to say. I'd like to be in on one of these councils we just read about. Wouldn't you just like to see what goes on in heaven sometimes? Maybe you wouldn't. That's just my curiosity. But this is what we have in the book of Job. This is what we have when Job, when the devil says, back in Job chapter 1, when all of these angels came before the Lord, Satan was there too. And the Lord, verse 7, Job 1, 7, and the Lord said unto Satan, "Where you come from? Whence cometh thou? Where'd you come from?" You say, "Well, didn't God know?" Yes, God knew. God knows a lot of things. Sometimes He just asks us to bring it out into the open. Just like sometimes a parent knows what their child did. They say, "What'd you do?" There's reasoning behind it. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." He is constantly on the go. He is constantly in the nations. He's in the White House. He's in the United Nations. He's in the Council of Foreign Relations. He's in the Bilderbergers. Satan is constantly going to and fro. He visits you. He visits me. He's going about. He visited Peter one time. The Lord said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," when Peter said something that wasn't right. He visited Ananias and Sapphira. He visited Elimaeus. He visited a lot of folks. He is constantly going about seeking whom he may devour. Whom he can swallow up. And then again the second time in chapter 2, it says, "Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, 'From whence comest thou?' And Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it.'" Reminds you of a lot of people that's living in sin. They're restless. They can't stay still. They constantly must be on the go. They find no rest. The devil can find no rest. He is not content. His only contentment is to fight against God, and he's not content at that because he doesn't win. Not even with Job. Very likely with many of you, if not all that are here, you have gone through trials and afflictions where you almost just quit serving God and wanted to throw up your hands and quit, and you haven't yet. Simply because God, well, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The devil hasn't caused you to quit yet. Many a time somebody may think you ought to stop, and you keep on going. The devil will do anything he can to stop you from doing what God has called you to do. Think of that. He will do anything he can to stop you from doing what God has called you to do. I've had people to tell me that I should stop doing sometimes what God had called me to do. I have people from time to time still tell me that I ought to stop doing what God called me to do. Or saying that I should continue now, saying that I should have stopped at one time. Well, as Paul said with the Corinthians, we'll let God be the judge of that. All we can know is what God said. You know, He'll make that known. But this much we do know, the devil wants to stop you from doing what God has called you to do. And when you do not fit the idea or the pattern of society, when it looks like what you're doing is stupid, that much more it puts pressure on you to think, well, maybe I ought to stop. But that's what his job is. Constantly going, 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 going. To and fro, to and fro, to and fro. He's like a lion seeking prey. Looking and looking and looking and looking. And as I've said before and pointed out, this is not just the roar of a lion. A lion may... not the growling, excuse me, the growling of a lion. I had been into zoos a few times, and I had heard lions growl. But I was at a zoo one time, and it was feeding time, and I heard a lion roar. I never will forget that day. It was in a huge lion house. Thick concrete floors and walls. A massive structure. And when that lion, when the man gave him his food, before that lion took a bite, he let out this ferocious roar. That building shook. And I tell you, a lot of folks cleared out. I never saw a building clear out so quick in all my life, especially a lot of young folks. And I mean, they just... And I mean, it was something. And I have read since then about the difference in the growl and the roar of a lion. And it is said that when a lion is hunting, when he comes up on his prey and he roars, it is with such tremendous volume and power that it causes the prey to be, as we would say, scared to death, just paralyzed. And when he's paralyzed, that's when the lion pounces upon him. How many times have we been in trials and afflictions, and all of a sudden we're just paralyzed? Helpless. Don't know whether to run or stay still. Don't know what to do. We're paralyzed. Beloved, that's when we are in a very, very vulnerable place. And all we can do in such times as that is just draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. Resist the devil, he will flee from thee. sad to say, sometimes when people are in such a state, they want to take matters into their own hand. They want to come out fighting against the devil. They're no match. They're no match. He is as a roaring lion seeking. Seeking with intent whom he may devour. And if he can find an opening in the chink of your armor, you can rest assured he will penetrate the soul. That's the reason we must ever be watchful. He seeks whom he may devour. Let's look at that word devour for just a tad. First of all, we want to look in 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 54. 1 Corinthians 15, 54. So, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up, devoured, consumed in victory. Satan is desiring to swallow us up. That's what he's going about to do. Find anybody that he can swallow up, that he can consume, that he can devour. Tear them to pieces. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Talking about the man that was excluded in 1 Corinthians. And he had grievously repented of his sins. Verse 7, Paul writes to them, telling that the congregation should forgive him, so that contrariwise you ought to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up, consumed with overmuch sorrow. The sad part about it today, if any congregation, hardly any congregations practice church discipline today. But when they do, most of the time, a lot of time, you find they're not repentant, they're not grievous. You know what they do? They blame the church. Isn't that something? Just like people in prison. Not their fault they're there. I'm innocent. They're the ones wrong. I've seen a few cases where church discipline was administered and the person repented and they came back. And what a joyous occasion it was when they truly repented and come back to serve God, not just to get what they wanted. Swallowed up. In the fifth chapter, 1 Corinthians, verse 4, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we should be unclothed, but that we should be clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Totally consumed. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essayed to do, but were drowned. They were swallowed up, totally consumed and destroyed. And then lastly, in Revelation 12, Revelation 12, verse 16. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. I'm not even going to try to expound on that, just to show the use of the word. This is the word that God has used, that the devil is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may swallow up, consume. If you were out in the jungle, all by yourself, and you came up on a ferocious lion, would you not have concern, to say the least? Well, I tell you what, we have more than that that is trying to destroy us. You need to be on your guard. You need to constantly, I say you, we need to constantly be upon our guard. And he will even appear to be what he is not. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 13, Paul says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness." Ministers, they appear to be ministers of righteousness. He is our adversary. You have someone who is after you. This word adversary means an opponent, as if in a lawsuit. Not used that many times, and look at the two or three verses, wouldn't bring any more light on it, so we won't do that. But it's just like you were in the court of law, and you have somebody that is against you. Several years ago, I hadn't been driving very long. I went around a corner in a dirt country road trying to stay, and I was on my side of the road. On the outside, I wasn't cutting the corner at all. That was proven in court. But there came a man down the road, and he was on my side of the road, and we hit. And he took me to court. I never will forget when I told my dad. He said, "Of all the men in this community you had to hit, it was him. He sues everybody." Come to find out years later, the neighbor almost killed him because he molested his daughter. Probably should have killed him. He had gotten by with it then. This is the kind of man we were. But I never will forget being in that court of law and this man lying, lying, lying. Here I am, 16 years old. Also, what I never will forget is these two lawyers going at each other. And when we broke for lunch to walk across the street to get a bite of eat to eat, these two lawyers were patting each other on the back, smiling, laughing, having a good time. You would have thought they were bitter enemies in that court of law. What a charade. But there was an adversary. The lawyer for this other guy, when he got me on the witness stand, he tried every way in the world to trick and confuse me. That's what the devil will do to you. You better know God's Word. He has the skill to put doubts and suspicions in everything you believe. I have seen too many young people in my life. Some family, some friends, some not friends. To be influenced by the false gospel of the world. And the devil to cause them to question everything they've ever taught and everything they ever supposed to believe. The devil is a roaring lion and he seeks whom he may devour. As we will show later, if you're going to resist him, it must be in the faith. It must be in the faith. He was an adversary to Christ. You know, I'm not going to get through with all these adversaries and how he opposes different ways. We'll just wrap it up here for today. Now, again, I want to say this. As powerful as the devil is, and as raging as he is, remember this. He is to be resisted, and he will flee from you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I don't want you to leave on a negative note. I want you to leave on a positive note. But also with the note that we must actively be engaged in battle. We can't just be indifferent and lethargic. Let's pray. Father, sometimes we see our sins and we are in such a frame of mind, we confess that we don't think that he that is greater that is in us than he that is in the world. But help us to know even then the seed of God remains in us and that you continue to work. We desire to live our lives and to be escorted into the afterlife on flowery beds of ease. It is not so. And I thank you, my Father, that at our lowest state, that you're there and that you love us. And even as thy martyr Stephen was being stoned to death, our Lord was so interested that he stood up. He just couldn't sit there any longer. At least that's my language. And what I interject from that, He wasn't just seated on the throne indifferently. He cares. And when we don't think you care, I'm thankful that we can still know that you do. For it is quite often we know that you care, even when we do not, as we would say, feel that you care. But you do. And help us to realize that and to know that. And help us to be vigilant, ever to be on our guard against the devil. And I thank you that someday he and all of the angels that are in cohort with him will be thrown into the lake of fire that is prepared for him, along with the beast and the false prophet and all haters of you. May that day come soon. Please bless us to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.